Devarim, and last week's shiur we did an introduction to the topic of Einoas Devarim, just to get a basic concept. We split Einoas Devarim into two parts. There was one Einoah which is outright stealing, then there was Einoah which is Einoas Devarim, right? We pointed out that the Torah repeats the pasuk twice, right? Once to tell us regular Einoah, once to tell us the Einoas Devarim. We also went and we split the concept into two parts. One part was Einoas Devarim, like the later Achronim referred to it, where there is a Drora de Memoina, which where the because of the words there's a hefset of money. The second half is where there's Einoas Devarim, where there is no Drora de Memoina. Most of the shiur last week, most of the shiur we spent on defining Einoas Devarim with it has no tzad mamon, right? For example, as the Chinuch writes and as the Rambam writes, that anytime you do something which hurts another person, already you're over on the same isur of Einoas Devarim, right? And we gave a bunch of examples. The examples were Gezel Shina, which was a very interesting discussion. What's that?
He was scraping his eyes in the morning.
Yeah.
So I said, what is this in the morning? I hear like,
quarter to six in the morning, he was scraping his eyes. I did discuss one thing. Again, we went through a lot of different concepts last week. And one thing we did discuss, if you remember clearly, you know, we had this discussion. The discussion was, how about to make a simcha late at night in your house when there's music? So we did say one thing, and we said that mostly this discussion comes up in the poskim in Eretz Yisrael, not here, because here people don't live as closely. There they live in apartments, and what we said was, be'etzem it's asur, but the case that we said was allowed was when there are certain things that's accepted on the public that you're allowed to do. Right? We said for le'itim rechokot, you're allowed to go and make a certain party in your house for a simcha, because when you buy an apartment in a building, it's accepted, you know, once in a while that's going to happen. Now, the truth is, if a person needs to go somewhere at 6 o'clock in the morning, so he needs to scrape his car at a quarter to six, I guess it's accepted. I mean, the person does not really have a choice, and he's going to have to do it. I don't know if you can say that's Einoas Devarim. That will probably go into the category of Einoas Devarim, which is allowed. I would say that's probably allowed that case.
He said that right. Somebody that was passing his house
right.
On top of the, you know, loud, you know.
He was talking loud.
They were talking loud.
Talking loud.
It was Gezel Shana. He says absolutely Gezel Shana.
Then it's what?
Then it is Gezel Shana. But
of course, to speak, because that's not accepted. You can't say it's accepted upon the public. Can he scrape it quietly?
Yeah.
You put some hot water, sometimes you crack the window.
Yeah.
You can crack the window, or you can. There's other problems you can have.
Defogger.
You have to be. I hear what you're saying. We also went through a interesting concept, which the interesting concept was that when it comes to a Dover mitzvah.
I
want to
travel the snow 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, people sleeping. I think a lot of people.
When you're at 6 o'clock screaming, like, it's not even occurring to you that
you're making noise. But we have an obligation to that it should occur to us. You know, if it's not allowed, we have to be able to hear it. I mean, we did discuss the other topics we discussed about a person learning late at night, and he wants to learn in public, right? He wants to learn in a shul. And in Eretz Yisrael, you have very often where he's on one floor, and the floor right below him, you have a person sleeping. But he says, on a koil, I'm allowed to learn at night. So there already, when it came to a dove of mitzvah, so there already we were much more makel. And the reason why we were much more makel was because by a dove of mitzvah, you can say that it goes into the category of the takona of Rabbi Shir ben Gamda, which that discussion is in Baba Basra, right? Tav Chav Beis, where the Gemara says that he made certain takanot that people should learn Torah, and since he wanted people to learn Torah, he went and he made certain takanot, right? We had a discussion about making the sukkah, Matzi Yom Kippur, when you keep people up, and all of those went into the gather of the basic concept of the Einoas Devarim, when there will not be a Drora de Memoina. Now, I would like that we should take the time and start to discuss the Einoas Devarim, where there is a Drora de Memoina, which means it has a ramification which results in money. I just want to map out a bit of a plan. We're trying to build with this shiurim, which means we're going to do Einoas Devarim. Dror the Mamayna, and Bez Hashem, next week I'm going to do one of two things. Either we're going to say a shir, which is a very important shir, which I said, it goes into the gather of Einoras Devarim. Cutting lines, right? When you see a person online, if you can cut the line, you see a person in the bagel shop, right? Can you go, and there's 10 people waiting online, so you go to somebody in the front of the line and say, can you do my order for me too? Technically, you're stealing the time of all the people on the line, right? That's question number one. And also, how about saving people's seats? You go to a shiur, and there's not that many seats available, and you save the seat next to you. Are you allowed to do that or not? So I think that will be Bezerat Hashem the next year. And then we're going to go to Gnevas Das, which all these topics sort of lead one into the other. I just want to quote to you, before we start the topic, a beautiful Ben Yoyada, which is written. We read a few of the Ben Yoyadas last week, which the Ben Yoyadas are magnificent. And there's one shtickle here I want to read to you, where he speaks about, on this topic, the Gemara here speaks about the concept of Hamal B'Pnei Chaveya B'Rabim, because I know it really goes into the category of Hamal B'Pnei Chaveya B'Rabim. And the Gemara writes over here on Daf Nun in Bava Metzia. I have a few of the Gemaras here, and I have a few Ben Yoyadas too. The Gemara is Nun Ches Amud Beis. I'll read to you the Lashon of the Gemara. Look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Tonik Tana, this is Nun Ches Amud Beis, and this is almost towards the bottom of the page. Tonik Tana Kamadir Nachem Bayisra Kalam Malbim Pnei Chaveya B'Rabim, a person that is Malbim Pnei Chaveya B'Rabim, Ki'ili Shoyfech Domim. It's like he spills his blood. So the Ben Yoyada asks an interesting question, and he says as follows. Take a look at Daf Nun Ches. Because the concept here is Aino. Aino, as I broke it down into two levels. Aino really means to put a person through pain. It's Aino through Dvorim. The concept is to just embarrass and to pain another person. Then it moves to Aino's Dvorim. And now, in this year, we're going to go to the next level of Aino's Dvorim, where it ends up costing the other person money. That's what we're discussing next. But I just want to read to you this.
He ruins his reputation?
What's that?
He ruins his reputation.
That will go into the concept of Aino, 100%. But I just have to read to you this, many other, because it's so magnificent. He says here as follows, Kosha, Kivan to Oma Chaveri Loshen Yochet. He starts off as Kalamal Pnei Chaveri, which is singular. Havale Lumema, Kili Shoifach Domoy. It's like you spilled his blood. That's not what it says. Look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Hamalbim pnei chaveroi ki ili shoyfech domim." Domim is you spilled many bloods. It's not many bloods. You only spilled one person's blood. What's beautiful question? V'lama nokid domim lashem rabim. Such a beautiful question because you hear the statement so many times. Hamalbim pnei chaveroi ki ili shoyfech domim, and you never think of this point that he mentions. V'nirli b'siata d'shmaya d'hamavayish chaveroi shoyfech domim kamei pa'omim. Listen to this Musa Haskell. He says, if you embarrass your friend, you spill his blood not once, but many times. Why? Ki kol eis shezoicha hamizbayish. Every time the person you embarrass, he remembers that what? Oh, you remember what he did to me? And he turns white again. Hu boish v'nichla me'elav v'me'atzmoy. He keeps on getting re-embarrassed. V'chein kol pam shroi oisem b'nei odam achashem. Every time he meets the group that he got embarrassed in front of him, he keeps on getting embarrassed. It's not just one act, it's many acts when you do Einoras Dvorim. Now, I just want to read to you one more piece. If you take a look at the next piece, it's really worthwhile to see. He says over here as follows. Really, I should just show you another few pieces here, which are really nice. But he says here as follows: B'marova, the Gemara asks after a question in Marova in Eretz Yisrael, B'mai zehira tvei. What were they very concerned with? Which inyan? You know, in every single community, there's one mitzvah or halacha they take very, very seriously. So they asked in Marova in Eretz Yisrael, what do they take as a specific chumra which they take extremely seriously? Amalei ba'achveri apin. They're very, very concerned not to embarrass another person. So it's an interesting Gemara. Why in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, right, and it's a din. No, but they went at an extra length to be extremely careful with this halacha. How come? That's the question that he has. Nir libe v'siyata d'shmaya. Look what he writes here. Hatam. The nesorim be'etz Yisrael b'davazei yoyse. Why were they more concerned than Yisrael than anywhere else not to be malm p'nei chaveri? The yadiyamai shekosav harav chesed l'avrom. All right, there's a soy sefer. Sheyesh shnei malochem hamamunim al hamisa. There are two malochem that their job is to kill people. That's their job. Echad hu b'chutz loretz. One is in chutz loretz. Shehu malach hamoves. It's at ploini. In chutz loretz, the one that has to bring people back to Hashem is the Malach HaMavas. And who has the job in Eretz Yisrael? The Malach Gavriel. Okay, this will be an interesting discussion, why the Malach Gavriel specifically, but that's for another time. All right? V'hu be'etz Yisrael. That's his job in Eretz Yisrael. V'hine yedua ki ba'avon shvichas domim yiskana Malach HaMavas yoysa ki oime zu umnes shaloi. He says, let's say a person does shvichas domim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Malach HaMavas from Chutz La'aretz gets suddenly angry and jealous. He says, hey, that's my job. What are you getting involved in my business for? What are you doing? So he says, v'eich yikak oysa ha'odam laharigas chaveroi. V'lechei b'marov ha'shei Malach HaMavas mitzat ploni nichnas shom nizhorim heim al-poas ponim shu b'chlal shvichas domim v'pnei ki shvichas domim hi melocha shal Malach HaMavas v'choyshishin pen yiskanei v'yoyme kemoy sheyoyshve et Yisrael nichnasim b'gvili. He says, hey, excuse me, you're getting involved in my business, you're stepping over the line, I'm going to get involved in your business. That's what the Malach HaMavas says. And that's why there's a shelokhu umnes shaloi lishpach dom. You see, he's concerned about Asagas Gavul. He's concerned that somebody's taking away his panos over here. Okay, yichonos b'gvil, she'ene shaloi likonos b'etz shol gamkein. V'leisagile chitzlo. Z'kach nasoing kadei shalayim sa Malach HaMavas il likonos esen. They want to tell Malach HaMavas, look, we're not masik your Gavul. You don't come be masik our Gavul. We're not in competition with each other. And that's it. But it's just such a beautiful thought. I mean, he also writes beautifully on the concept of the Gemara says that you specifically have to be careful with the ona'a of ishto, a person's wife. And the Gemara says because they're tears, right? So he has a whole discussion on why the woman is from the makor of tears and what tears does. I mean, the if you take a look at the next page, but tears, one piece after another piece, literally pearls, one piece after the other. Let's get more into the sugi over here, which we're going to discuss, is going to be in Reish Chof Ches, and we'll read Sif Gimel firstly. All right, Reish Chof Ches Sif Gimel, and so I'll just quote to you what the Mechaber says, which he actually quotes the Gemara. The Mechaber says, "Tzorach lizor b'inos ishto." A person has to be extremely careful with the ino of his wife. Why? Lefisha de Moslem Mitzia, because the women, they cry quicker, and like the Gemara told us, we saw the Gemara last week, that Kol Reish Chof Ches Siv Gimel, Kol HaSheorim Ninalu Chutz Mishari Ono, right? That's what we learned. Reish Chof Ches Gimel. All right? So all of the Sheorim were lacked besides the Shah of Ona'a, Reish Chof Ches. So a little earlier, Reish Chof Ches. No, the Siman. A little earlier. I just want to repeat to you a beautiful vort which Reb Chaim Shmulevitz once sent over. The Gemara says in Masechet Yuma that there was a certain Talmud that would go learn in the yeshiva, and he would come home once a year. When would he come home? Erev Yom Kippur. Right? That's the only time he would come home. So the Gemara tells us that one year he got so absorbed in his learning he forgot to come home, and his wife was waiting for him the whole day, Erev Yom Kippur, and he didn't show. So she started to cry. And so she kept on saying, maybe he's going to come. When she realized he's not coming for Yontif, she started to cry. So the Gemara says that she was walking up on a ladder. He was walking on a ladder at the time, and as she cried, he fell down the ladder and he died. Chaim Shmulevitz asks a beautiful question. Chaim Shmulevitz says, I don't understand. She's crying. Yeah, she's crying because her husband's not coming home. So what do we accomplish? So the husband's not going to come home at all? What kind of business is this? Chaim Shmulevitz says, you didn't understand the Gemara. You have to be careful by Noz Ishtoi, Lefisha Demasa Mitsuya, because the tears of a woman, it's a fact. Once the tears of the women happen, it just follows. There's nothing to do about it. That's what it is. It's a punishment as is, period, without any cheshbonot. You understand? I mean, it's a little shredded what with Hatsur Tom and Paoli, how to understand it exactly. But you have to hear the strength of the words of the that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said over. The Chofetz Chaim writes in a sefer that why does it say your wife. So the Chafetz Chaim says that you have that he has to tell your wife, because you would think ishto ki gufo, your wife is just like you. So therefore, you would think if your wife's like you, you can insult yourself. You can insult your wife too. That's the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Sefer. So kamash malon, that even your wife, you have to also be concerned with your wife. Now, I want to tell you that in the Sefer of the Maral learns differently. And the Maral in Sefer Nesivos Olam learns that, no, specifically your wife can get more insulted from you than from anybody else. Because at the end of the day, she knows that she's dependent on you. And since she's dependent on you, she takes you more seriously than anybody else. That she takes you more seriously. Another person insults her, what's the big deal? But if you insult her, she needs to take it seriously, because every word you say means something to her. Now, I want to add something which the Mechaber does not add in the concept of Oinos Devorim, and then we're going to have to move to Oinos Akim, right? That's going to be the next discussion which we have to have, because we learned about doing Oino. One of the examples we gave of doing Oino is to walk into a store and this is already Oinos Devorim, which goes into Dror the Memoina, right? You go into a store and you ask him to show you a camera, and the reason why you ask him to show you a camera is because you want to know what's the best camera, which camera has the best features, and your true intention is to buy the camera online, because that's where you can get it for 50% off. You have a coupon already, you have a big discount, so you don't truly intend to use it. Now you go and you go to the salesman, and you have this whole discussion with him, and really all you're doing is, I know, nothing more and nothing less. So it's going to be important for us to define, is there an iser of I know by a goy or not? It's going to also be important to define, because we're going to learn in this siman, this shir was specifically concentrating on I know, and then we're going to continue and start to understand Genevis Das, which is slightly different. It's not exactly, I know, it goes into the same category, but it's not exactly the same. Now, before we continue, how about a katan, right? A child less than bar mitzvah. Can you do ona'ah to a child less than bar mitzvah? There is no mention in the Mechaber whatsoever. However, the chinuch in mitzvah shin lamet ches mentions that even a katan, also there is also an issa of ona'ah. The Tshuvas write that there's one exception when you're allowed to have Oinor to a Kotan, and that is a parent or a Rebbe that feels that he has to reprimand them. But you have to remember, while you're reprimanding a parent's reprimanding a child, or a Rebbe's reprimanding a child, that there is an Isur of Ona'ah. And therefore, as much as you're allowed to do because you need to do to discipline the child, is acceptable. Anything over that amount, you have an Isur Deraisa. The Chinuch writes in Issa Dereis, Mahana Kotten. Now, the Achroinim write that it's worse in a way, a child. Why is it a child worse?
Can't forgive you.
It's Lav Ba'Machila. Excellent. This is the famous story with the stipler. That the stipler, when he was an old a man, he went once to a bar mitzvah of a certain child in Bnei Brak. He climbed up a few flights of stairs, and he didn't have the koyach for it anymore. They said to him, why'd you go? He said, years ago, this child was in the same shul as me on Yom Kippur, and the child had a huge machsa, and I thought it was a gemara. And I turned to the child and I said to him, Zman Torah lechid, Zman Tefillah lechud. That's what the disciple said to this child. And the child showed him afterwards it was a machsa, it wasn't a gemara. So he says he waited for the day of his bar mitzvah to go ask him mechila. That's what the disciple did. So you're right. You're 100% right. In a way, a child is worse. Now, there's a sefer printed. It's called Hisari B'Kavot Chaverechem. And he has all kind of examples of ona'ah. It's a very interesting sefer. And he just, you know, it's like food for thought. He keeps on bringing up different concepts. And he discusses the concept of ona'ah to a katan. So in it, he writes, he says, are you allowed to, he says, you shouldn't. You know, people like to have a good time with children. So you see a child, and you run over to him, and you say to him, no. So what do you learn yeshiva? You're learning Perek HaKoinus, huh? So tell me, what's the halacha if this happens, to, you know, this and this happens, and the child doesn't know the answer? So you're over on ona'ah of a child. So you have to be very, very careful. What, you know, people think they get a kick out of it, you know, starting up with the children. It's just the opposite. It's, you know, when you start up with children, you get into a much worse situation because they really can't forgive you. Now, what is fascinating is that Genevas Das, we're going to see soon a Sma, which the Sma says Genevas Das clearly applies to a Goy. So therefore, I want to first speak specifically of Ona'ah. Now take a look at the Ramah at the end of Sif Aleph. The Ramah says, V'yesh Oimrim, the end of Sif Aleph, the Ramah, he writes as follows, V'yesh Oimrim, some say, the Ein mitzuvim al einoz devorim elo l'yirei Hashem. The concept of einoz devorim only applies to somebody that is a yires Hashem. And he adds on as follows: imi shema'ana et atzmo. If a person is not concerned to do einoz to himself, muta lohinehu. You're allowed to do einoz to him. So it would seem to be suddenly that by a goy there's no problem of einoz. But he's going even a step further. He seems to be saying that a person that's not concerned to do einoz with you, you can reciprocate and respond with einoz back to him. Or, I mean, there's a few ways to read this.
Give an example of that.
What's an example? We'll have to give a few examples. Because the truth is this.
Mishon et atzmo.
Atzmo, right? How do you manage atzmo? How do you do that?
The guy is a rasha, so he's cheating himself.
He's a rasha. So why are you doing einoz? Because to put him straight, to set him straight, to make him do tshuva, correct? So let's read this sma, because this sma has a very difficult time understanding what this rama truly means. There's a few ways to read this rama. Let's read the sma, dalet. Imi shema'ana et atzmo muta lohaneu, right? Benamika Yosef, v'sof perik hazov, kosav. V'chein yisav b'medrash, right? This quote comes from a medrash. V'sayim boi d'ze einoi kori amisecho. Okay, so the first reason we have given is, it says, v'loisoinu ish es amito, right? It has to be your friend. He's not your friend. Finish, right? Why? Because amisecha is amisecha b'mitzvot, right? Period. Ad kan l'shoyne. V'shamati mefarshim. So now he has different ways of understanding it. Either the ratzel loyma im echad ma'ana oischa gam ken ata mutal loyneu. All right. You hear the first chat. The first chat is that if a person what is ma'ana you, which means he picks a fight with you, then you can reciprocate and do the same thing to him. The kosav, right?
It's a person.
Huh?
Imikesh to
patam.
Right. Somebody's coming.
A person starts and in Simon Tov Chov and Shulchan Aruch. What's that?
No.
Yeah. There's a Simon Tov Chov and Shulchan Aruch. There's a discussion. If a person goes and punches you, if you can punch him back, right? Because you're not letting go. There's rush is lama sakir reecha. But if a person started it and he got it going, so you're allowed to continue. Think about it. I mean, obviously, you know, today you read the current events, so they say this disproportionate force. You know, that's the line that everybody uses. Obviously, you can't pummel the person because he did something to you. But technically speaking, what's that?
But even if somebody comes to punch you, in a way, it's like a sniff. I mean, no?
Yeah, but what do you mean? It's like a sniff?
In other words, if he comes to punch you, if he's punching you, actually,
right,
he could kill you too.
He can kill you too. No, but more than that, the question is, you see in the Rishonim that if you're doing something, not even for self-defense, but we're going here a step further, you're doing something as a reaction because of what he did to you. You're angry, and you're hitting back.
It's more
you can't be mechayev the person for what he did. Again, obviously this is not a Baal Madrega. Because as a Baal Madrega, you know the Gemara says in Masechtas Brochus in the beginning, Hanelovim, Ve'enen Oilvim, Shem Chaposim, Ve'enen Mashimim, Aleim, Akosavoyma, right? Yoihavav, Kiseis Hashemesh. No, the Midas Chasidut is that regardless what happens, you relax, you don't fight back. That's there are certain people that are royalty, they can't fight back. I mean, people that are of royalty, they don't fight back. That's the higher people. There's another issue. The issue over here is not, you're talking about protecting yourself. Right. There's another issue is that a person pulled you into it, and because he pulled you into it, you're angry and you're giving it back. Are you aware when you give it back because you're angry? You understand? And that's the issue over here. And you see that in many cases, no. You know the Gemara has a whole discussion in Sanhedrin, when they went to kill Zimri, right? So the Gemara has a discussion. If Zimri turned around, the Hafach Zimri, Vaharag Lepinches, what's the halacha? And it would be Potter. Why? Because it's self defense. So it's Roidev, right? It's Roidev, Abalach Hashkav Hagen. But the point is, you do also see this concept. Now let's continue. So concept number one that the Sma writes is because the person simply started up with you. So there's no Isur of Ona'ah of answering him back. What's that?
Was the time in Sanhedrin also in Asael with Asael?
Right, right. Yes, exactly. This is the whole.
Told him you should. You have to kill him back.
You didn't have to kill him, right? You can shoot him in the leg, right? You can shoot
Yoav.
What's that?
Yoav.
Yes, exactly. This is the whole discussion. Sure. So the atzmi the kasher atzloima atzmi shel ze shematir loy Nearly. Okay, now he doesn't like it. You didn't like it either right away. The loshen atzmai ain't a mashmakein. It doesn't say. It says ma'ana atzmo. So you said right away. The Rama doesn't actually say this, right? The havle l'meimah misha ma'ana oischa. He's ma'ana you. V'oid. Another question. Ma'i atzmo v'oto afilu ma'ana lachem gamkein atemuta lohoinoi. Ela nearly the ratzaloi misha mezalzel becovered atzmai. So he says a new concept. This ma says that he's mezalzel on his own covered, which means you can't go and hurt the kavod of a person that is self-respecting. But if a person is not self-respecting, so what are you being ma'ana? There's nothing to be ma'ana there, he's saying, right? So he says, al kazeh lo hisira ha-torah v'gam achem return lo ne'el v'lzal v'chvoide v'lchoy nir. Now what's the reason? Da'atam hi, v'shim de'ish kazeh en yirei shamayim. This person is not a yirei shamayim. Alright, if a person is not self-respecting, he's, listen, yirei shamayim is a more higher class person. Right? Okay, now, then he says that others confuse it. See, this, so far, if you read it well, there are three possible ways to learn, right, so far. He says, Deimus horim el al mishe yori li kim, shenem le tzoyin ish samisecho, yiperish hamisoy, im she itcho betoyer v'mitzvahs, avom eini yori li kim, harei hu, ma'ana esatzme imutu le neo gamken atkan shoyin niru, de pirish gamken amirom ken, de chodekoma, ze'en lefi divri. Okay, so you have all of these pratim. If you take a look on the bottom in the Pischei Tshuva, he quotes, Hatam kiven de ein derech mei olam lohenes atzman einu mechlal ha-yishuv derech eretz ve'einu nikra amisecha. So that's the simple pshat is not any of the above pshatim that he started up with you or any of the other pshatim, but the simple achroa seems to be that the person who doesn't take he's not self-respecting, that type of person you don't have to have a noah for him. Now, one thing is clear, if a person's a balavera, a true balavera, then you're allowed to be ma'anahim. Now, most achroinim learn that the reason you should be ma'anahim is because he should do tshuva, because you are ma'anahim. That's how most of them learn. Now, the Me'iri writes that the same halacha applies to a goy. That's what the Me'iri writes. So there's a very strong tzad to say that a noah does not apply to a goy. The Aruch HaShulchan, when he brings this whole discussion down, says that the reason why you're allowed to be ma'ana a rasha is to do it intentionally so that he should be chozeh b'tshuva. That's what he writes. The Chasam Sofer adds that it's specifically a person who is a rasha in a davar mefursam, in a famous idea. And by him it became like, you know, you're publicizing a certain avera a person does, that's only if he does it publicly too. A person drives on Shabbat or something of that sort. But if a person does a certain avera b'seisa, the Chasam Sofer says, you should not go and publicize it. There's a tshuva which is written from the pasuki quotes, by the way, is Misanecha Shem Esna, which you quoted too. The Shevet HaLevi, who's Ravozna, writes tshuva in Chelek Hei. He has a sefer there called Kintzitz HaMitzvahs. And in Siman Nun Aleph, he discusses that if it's a Tinik Shenishpa, if it's a child that never learned better in yeshiva, you should definitely not go and be ma'anahim, then you definitely don't have a right to be ma'anahim. Now, it's important for us to start entering into the most important discussion in Oino, and that's Oino when there clearly is a drawer, the memoina, when you can't do it, and that's in Siv Dalet. So the Mechaber tells us in Siv Dalet, Ketzad hu Oino'as Devorim. What is the classic case of Oino'as Devorim? So the Mechaber tells us, if he says, lo yoyma, a person shouldn't say to his friend, bekama ata roitza litein chayfetz zeh, vuhu eina roitza leknoisa. You walk into a guy, into his store, and you say to him, for how much will you sell to me this item? And he has no item, no intention of buying it. Right? That you're absolutely not allowed to do. This is the Lashon of the Mishnah, Daf Nun Ches Amad Beis in Bava Metzia.
Isn't it Gnevat Das?
What's that?
Isn't it Gnevat Das?
That should technically go into Gnevat Das, to an extent, yes, but we'll have a much clearer discussion on Gneivas Das. 100%. We're going to have a much clearer discussion. And it's very important you mentioned it. I'll tell you why. Because, as I said, Ona'a doesn't apply to a goy. Gneivas Das, the Sma says, does apply to a goy. So even if we're going to say you're allowed to do Ona'a, and it's very important you mentioned it, I'll explain to you why. I'm in a second going to go through in the Rishonim about 3-4 reasons why you're not allowed to do this. If you say the reason is because it's Ona'a with a drawer, the Memoina, so that's one thing. If you say it's Gneivas Das, no, I mean, it doesn't make a difference. You're right. Gneivas Das applies to a goy regardless, this
Ma
says.
What's the practical difference?
What's that?
What's the practical difference?
What's the practical? So I want to get back to discuss that. I want to finish with Oino. And after I get to Oino, Bezat Hashem, next week or the week after, we'll do Gneivas Das. And then we'll discuss what the differences are between... One thing we'll say clearly, the half that we discussed in the beginning of this shiur and last week, that Oino, which is to be Mitzara person... Right, all of those cases, just simply to put a person through tsar, like the Chinuch wrote and the Rambam wrote, like we said, Gezel Shina and all of those examples, that clearly goes onto the gather of, I know, that's not Gezel. That's if a person plays music in his house late at night, right? That's I know. I mean, it could be Chil Hashem too, possibly, which you have to be careful from, but that's not Gneivas Das. So remember, there are cases we're showing where there's clearly just a problem with I know, and there's no problem with Gneivas Das. But you're right, this case over here might already be going into the gather of Gneivas Das.
How do you call this? On Advarim is Bape, but this guy's playing music. Just want to understand the concept.
Yeah. The Rambam writes,
I'm not getting an example.
Because the Rambam writes, and as I said in the beginning of the shiur last week, that when the Torah said you can't do Oinoz Devarim, the Torah really was saying you can't use your words to put another person through pain and suffering, and therefore the Rambam writes that Zil Basa Taima, understand the concept. The concept is that when every time you put a person through pain, you even I know. The Rambam writes that, the Chinuch writes that, the Chofetz Chaim, I said. When you the Pelayoyets, I quoted.
I was going to the guy's store.
Right. So let's discuss this. We have to discuss. What's it? We have to discuss how this becomes. I know. Good. Wait. I'll explain. I want to first read the Braisa, the two cases, and then I'm going to get a few seconds. What are you saying?
No, I'm saying the definition precisely. What is it? He wants to know also. Right. Not varim. I know when you mitzvah somebody with words.
Right.
When you put loud music. What is it?
So the Rambam writes that if the Torah said...
What do you call it?
You have to look also in the Pelayoyetz, in Erech Oino. He writes the same thing. He says, if the Torah said that Oino means through your words to be Mitzara person, the Torah didn't want you to be Mitzara person. So he writes as follows. He says, every time you Mitzara person, like Gezel Shino, playing loud music, one of those cases, the Pelayoyetz writes, you're going to be over on V'haftu L'Re'acha Kamoicha, the Aloch San L'Chavach L'Savet, right, the Gemara and Shabbos, which you see in my show there, what the difference is between V'haftu L'Re'acha and the Aloch Savet. It's a little slightly different. Thirdly, he says, Oinoz Dvorim. That's what he writes. And then the Pelayoyetz quotes a Chinuch. And the Chinuch says that the examples of what I know actually is are too broad to even mention. Because if the Torah said you can't put another person through pain and suffering,
right. So
you have to figure out yourself what it is. We can only give certain examples. And I'll show you soon some more examples. All right, we're gonna get to it. But he's mentioning a different point. He's mentioning, let's analyze when the person walks into another person's store and he picks up a camera at the desk and he says, what is the price of this camera? And he has absolutely no intention of buying the camera. What is he doing wrong? So let's understand it. So I want to just first of all add that the Braisa says, Reb Yehuda, afle yitla ein av alamekach, b'shosh she'en le'domim. All right? Don't go into a store and ask to purchase something when you don't have money. You can't afford that item that you're looking for, right? I gave you the example last week of this woman that told me that she walks on Madison Avenue, and what does she do? She goes into stores because she likes to feel like a very fancy rich lady. So she goes into boutiques on Madison Avenue and she tries on the fanciest jewelry and the fanciest clothing. Why did she try it on? Like this, she feels like she's, and then she says, nah, I'll see you, I'll get back to you. But she feels like $1 million literally by putting on that amount of money onto her. But the point is, that's clearly lo yitla einav ala mekach b'shosh she'ein loy damim. Now, simply if you learn...
So if you clearly tell the store owner, I'm only looking. So that would be...
You won't get much credence. You won't get much time.
Okay. But at least if you say
the... Say it. You say it.
Try.
What?
It
But then it's at their own. Then it's their investment. Okay. No problem. That's no problem.
So you avoid the problem every time you say, "I'm just looking."
Huh?
No, you can say, "I'm not buying. There's something else. I'm looking, but not buying."
Yeah, but how do you say you're not buying? I've heard people say they're not buying. When they say, "I didn't come now to buy. I'm coming because I want
to
look. I'm considering in the future." That's what they say.
They don't mind if you look.
A regular store will give you, the salesman will give you a half hour to show you how a camera works.
No, by saying, "I'm not. I'm just looking." He wants to avoid the hona'ah.
Oh yeah, you're allowed to. Why not? Okay, but the person will then not invest the time to give you service. And if you want service, it's not going to help you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want, most people I find, they want to buy something online. So what do? They go to the store because they want to know what's the best product to get. So they go, they use the salesman, they hear all kind of different stories. I'll tell you, I had yesterday my own personal question of literally I know it's Devarim. I recently did a kitchen in my home. So one of the most complicated shilas you have now, presently, is with the new ovens. It's very complicated which oven to use on Shabbos, right? It's a very serious issue because what happened was they originally came out with a oven.
Use an oven on Shabbos? How can you use
it? If you can use an oven on Shabbos, no, to leave the food in from before Shabbos.
And opening it up.
Opening it up. The issue is, how do you open up the oven on Shabbos? So there was an official Shabbos.
Towel
where?
Door so it doesn't close fully.
I mean, so the oven always remains on.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It's very logical. It makes a lot of sense. Some want to suggest something else. They want to say that you should keep it only on about 200. So on 200, it's just about always on.
Yeah,
so it's
the
not a big ratio.
But the thermostat works all the time.
But on 200, it's close enough to room temperature that it's not a big ratio that when you're going to open it. But then you get into the whole question with the famous Machoeg Zer B'Kiva Eger, the steer in B'Kiva Eger, big ratio, if it works L'mafrey or not. There's a B'Kiva Eger in Yeriday, there's a B'Kiva Eger in Arachaim. The B'Kiva Eger that writes himself that he changed on this question. That's a very, because it's big ratio L'mafrey, right? That's the question. Very, very classic. Very classic
sounds
question.
Like, is that
not
grammar?
Sigresha
l'mafrei is not grammar?
It's a big machloek. Rabbi Kivayeg toys himself, and the question is which Rabbi Kivayeg to follow, the first or the second, and the pashas he wrote on Erechaim second. I mean, that's the whole discussion there. But the point is, so what I want to do, so I wanted to call the store that I remember that I bought certain appliances from one store, and other appliances I have a close friend that ordered for me online. That's the order. But it hit me, I didn't buy that oven from the store. So I was going to call them to ask them about the Shabbos modes to understand it well. And that would be Einos Devarim. I'm taking the person's time for something which he didn't sell to me. It's literally Einos Devarim. All right, Baruch Hashem, the owner of the store is a good friend of mine. So I called him and I told him I didn't buy it from you, and he's more than glad to help me out for the Halacha Shabbos. But you have serious issues of Einos Devarim, because if I would mislead him to believe that I bought it from him, or I did buy it from him, I mean, the best idea is to have an indicator light put in. So if you have an indicator light put in, you know when the oven is on or when it's off, then you really don't have a question. If you have a gas oven, you can hear it, but an electrical oven, you can't hear it. That would be usually the best etza. But in any event, the Meiri adds that there's another Isur to going into a store and taking a product and looking at it and not truthfully buying it. Because in those days, the way usually, and today too in many areas, how do you purchase something? By negotiating. So you walk in and you bring down the price. So imagine you walk in, you bring down the price from 100 to 70, and then you don't buy it. Now the next person that walks in starts to negotiate at 70. So the Meiri says that not only this I know is Devarim, suddenly I've already drawn the reminder because you're already being mafsid the person financially. That's another that's another problem. There's a Rashbam in Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis that brings down this Mishnah, and the Rashbam says there can be another Oinah of a drawer of the Mamayna on this specific question. He says, while you're negotiating with this person, another person was online. He sees you're negotiating for too long, he walks out. So he walks out, so what suddenly happened? The guy lost the sale. Now think about it, if you walk into a store and you take a salesman and you keep him for about 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you keep him for, and another person didn't have the patience to wait and walked out and he lost the sale, so this I know as Devarim already is a drawer of the Mamoinus. That's what I wanted to tell you last week. We started off with I know, but now we're going suddenly to I know as Devarim, which is a Tzad Mamoin, which is much more Mohammed, the Chafetz Chaim says, adds on, when he brings this down, this Mishnah, he says, forget about all of this. He says, it's an issa of simple eino anyways, because you matriach a person with his words. And even if, and then he says, it's a hefset zman. He says, you can't take a person's business time. A person's business time is supposed to be making money. So again, the Chafetz Chaim says, it becomes a drora dimemoina. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Balatanya, on this Mishnah, he says that after the person realizes that you had no intentions of truthfully buying it, because he's going to actually, you know, he'll give you that price, and then after he gives you the price, you walk away. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says there's another problem. The other problem is that it ends up being oino, because the person afterwards gets angry at you, so you mitzar him. So he goes back, he says, even if you were to remove all this inyanim of oino of the drawer of the mine, which is a tzad geneva, you still have the original isur of a oino, which is the oino to be mitzar another person. Now there's an interesting Sefer Chasidim in Simon Shin Yud Aleph. He takes this Mishnah and he works it in the total reverse. And he says, sometimes you can have oino's devorim on behalf of the seller, not just only on behalf of the buyer. How's that? He says the seller goes, and the seller makes a very big announcement. What's his announcement? I want to sell this item. So you go and you negotiate back and forth, and then what is his intentions? Never to actually sell it. So, right? I know of a certain guy that's a very wealthy fellow.
Bait and switch. They do that.
Yeah, they
have no intention of selling this camera, but they're putting it for.
Before. Why are they doing it?
You know, below cost.
Below cost, yeah.
Bring you in.
They get you in. What do they tell you when you're about to purchase it? What do they tell you?
It's a better one, I'll show you.
And then they leave it. And then they leave it. They don't actually sell it. But I have to know another story. I know a person who lives here in the area that he kept on putting his home up for sale. And the home is a very, very valuable home. It's not a regular home that we're used to. It's an 8-digit home. All right. So I once asked him. He was by me one time. I said, "You're selling your home. You're moving away." He says, "No, I have no such intention." I said, "So why are you doing it?" He says, "Every so often, I get an enjoyment of finding out what my real value is." He tells me. So what does he do? You don't realize. No. Sometimes the money gets to some people. You don't realize how it is.
Maybe somebody comes in with some oddball number, he'll take it.
He tell me he has really no intention of leaving. He goes, he takes all his properties and all his businesses, and every half a year he puts them all up and he packages them together and separately and this, and people bid and this. And at the end he decides not to sell. So you take people. This, and according to the Sefer Chassidim, that is the reverse, you know, of the Mechaba, which is clearly asur. Yeah, you're clearly not allowed to do it.
Did you tell him that?
Huh? Sure I did.
Okay, good.
Sure I did. It hasn't been on the market since. I have to tell you, it's been a half a year. It's been off. Maybe because the market is so low. Not sure it's because I told him, but it's because the market went down. Now, I want to tell you a case which I find, based on this discussion, to be a very complex question. And I've looked at a lot of achronim who discuss this question, and I've never seen a clear achro of somebody to answer this question perfectly. But it's a very, very complicated question. What happens? And I'll tell you a personal incident that happened to me years ago. This story happened to me about 15 years ago, and after this story happened to me, I realized, and then when I went through halacha, it's this kamat, nobody really, really answers this question. I had a situation as follows. I was looking to purchase a house here in Flatbush. So I went with an agent. I saw a certain house. I was about to buy it. So I said to him, "So what does it take to purchase this house?" So he says, "Kach b'kach, this is the amount. If you give me this amount, it looks pretty good." I said, "You sure? No, I'll give you a little higher." It was a good buy. It was the location that I wanted. You know, I really wanted the house. I gave him a certain number. He says, "No problem. Let's say, for argument's sake, the number was $800,000. No problem. The house, I'll give over the offer." Okay. A couple of days go by. I don't hear back from the agent. I thought I had a deal. So I called the agent a few days later. And I said to the agent, "Tell me, what happened with that house?" He says, "It was sold." I said, "Who bought it?" "Somebody else." "How much?" He says, $800,000. I says, "What are you talking about? That was my offer." He starts to laugh. He says, "You don't understand. Let me tell you what really happened there." What really happened was as follows. There was a neighbor, a next-door neighbor, that was a wealthy individual that wanted to buy the house. So he went to his next-door neighbor and says, "Listen, when the house goes up for sale, it's mine. And if you don't like it, bametzra. But how are they going to define what the price actually is? He says, go out, give it to an agent, bring me the highest bidder. When you have the highest bidder, come back to me with the number. I'll write you a check for the number. So what do you say? Huh?
They use you as bait.
They use me as bait. Absolutely. But 1 second. Is this a no's devarim or not?
Yeah, for sure it is.
Huh? Absolutely. For sure, because they took me.
No.
And they, you say no. Why not?
Because maybe this guy, if he wasn't going to buy, he would sell it to you.
But again, they have a deal. Those two have a deal.
They have a deal.
He's not going to sell it to me. This guy has the money. He bought the whole house in cash, the wholesale. It was the next day. There was no issue if he was going to purchase it or not. He had the money. It was just a matter how they get, because they're going to haggle on the price forever. So he figured, okay, this is a wonderful system. L'chayre, it could be this is a noz devar. But I'm not sure it's a noz devar. Let me tell you what the shayla is. And I was glad.
So that's what it sounds like.
Let me tell you something. I give you moichah from today till tomorrow. I'm not going to get the house anyways because he's the bar mitzvah. So even if he was ma'anami b'dvorim, I'm not going to get reimbursed for it anyways. So what am I going to accomplish? Okay, but the truth is, how do you deal with this issue? People do come over to me. They say, I'm the next door neighbor. I want to purchase the house, right? And I want to know what the going rate is. The two of them are always going to haggle because everybody always feels that they're giving the other guy a better deal. So the simplest way to deal with this is to go to the public market and see what you can get. So what do you do? So now, I'll tell you why I'm a stop.
I mean, doesn't the Torah itself tell you to do that? Like you want to know a value, an arachim. You want to know a value of somebody, you have to go and...
You get a shamai, you get a...
Estimate.
From Bedi.
Real estate agent.
Yeah, you get a professional estimate.
You want to see a real estate agent's estimation? Come on.
No. This is so fair.
Get the highest bidder. Yeah. And I'll pay you that number.
And this is the most fair
system.
There is such a thing.
It should compensate you.
Huh? It should compensate me for my time. Yeah. See, listen,
You made the sale.
We're still at the chelik of Chayesh Rishpot. This is what we're doing. The truth is, I did it intentionally. All the shiurim so far, Anim Habat B'charor, all these cases were where you don't have to pay. Because it's important before we start to deal with Chayesh Rishpot issues, that we've dealt with quite a few of them already, that you have to understand what it means money that doesn't belong to you. If you can't get that straight, then you can't even approach Chayesh Mishpat. So that's the reason why I'm doing first all of these topics. But at the end of the day, there's no compensation. Compensation here is none. I'll tell you why I'm a stopping, and maybe it's not only my why it's not an issue of a Nos Devarim. What would happen if I would walk in and I would say, look, this house is so desirable to me, I'll give you another $300,000. Well, let's say I go and I start to bid. The truth is, if they were smart, they would have come back to me. They would have said to me, we have an offer from the next door neighbor for $800,000. He's the metzvin. But if you want to beat him, then you can have it. Because al pi halacha, the metzvin has to come up to my price.
But you said they had a deal already.
They had a deal for whatever I said. So that was a mistake.
How did they know that you were the highest bidder?
I said they had a deal for the highest bidder. That was the deal.
You know why?
So they were smart. They would come up with me to make it even higher. Why?
Because then you're going to be too smart. You're going to give him a number that they can't refuse.
So why shouldn't the seller? How do you think Bamitzvah works? There's a whole simit. Bezat Hashem, we'll learn the topics of Bamitzvah. In Bamitzvah, there's a very interesting discussion. What happens when the buyer says a number that's above cost? It's a whole discussion of Bamitzvah, how you deal with that. Okay, because the truth is that if you think about it, the Bamitzvah system is a touch flawed. Why? Because the buyer can always say, I'm going to give you $2 million for the house. And then the seller can go, like they say, into the tish, right? He can return a kickback to the buyer, and then the neighbor can have a buy it. So Bamitzvah is technically flawed, right? If you think about it. So the Mechabataka discusses how you deal with that question. There's a way to deal with that. When we learn Hilchos Bamitzvah, we'll discuss exactly how you get out of that problem. But I'm just telling you that, look, one thing clearly I saw they write, that if the next door neighbor says, you know what, if you get $800,000, I'll buy it, but if you get more, it's give it away, so then that's clearly okay, because then he's saying clearly, if you get over a certain number, the other person can have it. So then he's not wasting my time, because if I go over that number, I'll have it. But if he says, I'll take it regardless, which is very often the case, then you do have a issue. It's getting late. I'll conclude with one very interesting case. One case I want to conclude with. There is a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, which you might want to take home and read, because it's a fascinating tshuva. You think about different people of how they do a practical joke, right? You know, some people's ideas of a practical joke. The Chasam Sofer writes a tshuva that there was a certain shoychet that he would travel any distance in order to do a Brit Milah. That was his mitzvah, to do a Brit Milah. You know, they say Reb Chaim Kanievsky will never give up being a sandik by a bris. So anybody that wants to get him to come to his house or to his yeshiva, just invites him for sandik and he comes. That's his mitzvah. So the person, there's a certain sheikhet that would always go travel any amount of time for a Brit Milah. So in any event, what happened was, I'm sorry, not the sheikhet, there was another person that would do it, and there was a sheikhet that had a baby. So the sheikhet went, he called this person and he told him, travel to my city, which was 4 hours away, for a Brit Milah. What happened? He traveled to his city and everybody was there for the Brit, and everybody was gathered together in the room, and as the sheikhet came in, the guest came in order to do the Brit Milah, suddenly everybody started to laugh. Why? Because what happened? The person had a girl, not a boy. So the guy went and traveled 4 hours, right? And what happened? There was a girl, not a boy. That's this tshuva in the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer, right, the question they sent to the Chasam Sofer was if they should be mav him, to remove him, that he should not be able to be the shochet anymore because of this act. It's a very, very interesting tshuva, because I don't know if you've ever gone through cruelty. Yeah, it's cruelty. In Yeredeya, there's all kind of tshuvas written about different averot a shochet can do in order to remove him, to be mavim as a shochet. And you got to do something pretty severe. I mean, there's issues with kashrus and chil shabbos, and even in those cases, there's questions in mumul etayoven. You learn siman aleph and siman beis in Yeredeya. It's pretty hard to remove a shochet. Nachsam Soifer here writes, this is the classic case of Einos Devorim, because I'll just read to you one more line of the Mechaba. The Mechaba says the next case is that the Chamorim are coming to get Tua. I'm going to finish right away. Go. No problem. Oh, there's Marius. Let's go. We'll finish here. No. It's time to finish anyway. But the case is, if you send somebody to... you don't have a minion up here anyway. The next case, if you take a look at the Mechaba, he says the Chamorim are going to... you send somebody to get business by a person that's not in that business, right? You take a look at the Mechaba here. The Mechaba writes as follows. He says that Hoya Chamorim Mevakshim Liknois Tua Loyom Lehem L'Chiyet Zolploimi V'Hu Yodei Shein LeLimkor. You send a person to a certain person to do business, and he's not even in that line. So the Mechaba says that's Einos Devorim. So the Chasam Sofer compares it and he equates it to this case, and he says it's absolute Einos Devorim. And he writes at the end, if the other Rabbanim would be maskim, he would remove him as a shochet. Okay, good.
What do you have there? What's that? So what about when you like